Sunday, June the 16th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
Super important, isn't it, that we get ourselves increasingly involved in the life of our town. There's this verse way back in Jeremiah, and it talks about seeking the good of the city, seeking the good of the town. And that's what these moments are about, and express our ongoing sense of knowing that God's called us to do the good that we can in the places where he has put us. And that's what our whole kind of scent theme and journey over these last weeks has been all about. And I just for 5 minutes want to pick up where we are on that journey, because I've got something I'd love you to think about during the coming week before next Sunday Alan comes and talks to us about our motivations. Like, why on earth? That question that we asked Adrian Jack is like why get involved? We all sometimes ask that question, don't we? Whether it's in this community or in our workplace or in our street, why get involved? It's just a pain and a headache, and it's a hassle, and people are awkward, and not everybody's encouraging. Why on earth bother? Why get involved? And we'll think about that next week. But before we do, I want to push our sense of involvement just one extra little bit. And whilst I just put my iPad in the right place, why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, we're having a lot of fun this morning, aren't we? Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, we're having a lot of fun today, aren't we? With conviction. Off you go. Okay, the first 5 weeks were all about getting ourselves orientated, and then we ended up a couple of weeks ago thinking about getting the right pattern. If we're going to take seriously what it means to be the church where God has placed us, what's the pattern that we need to follow? And we had something like this. Anyone remember something like that? Yeah, three of you, thanks. Remember something like that a few weeks ago, and then you had to go filling it in and you ended up with something like that. Remember that? And we were thinking about, if we're going to take seriously what it means to follow Jesus, then we probably ought to do it his way rather than do it our way and pretend that we're following him. Yeah, I wasn't so sure about that. So if we're serious about following Jesus, then we ought to try and do it his way rather than do it our way and pretend that we're following him. So the model becomes really important. Jesus had a mission from the Father. He gathered a family around him, and then he went and lived out that mission. And so we started to think about what it might mean for us as a church, but also the right-hand column for us as individuals. We are only the sum of who we are. As individuals, we are the building block that creates the culture of our church, just the same as the people in our town are the building block that creates the culture in our town. So it has both a corporate sense of responsibility, but you can't do that corporate cultural change unless you do the individual work first. And so we were beginning to think about the right-hand column in particular, and especially thinking about that step one. But before we do that, and just push that to where I want to take it this morning, that middle column about the church is that we need to help each of us to discover God's vision for ourselves. That's what we've been about these last couple of weeks. What's God's vision for you? And the reason that it's so important is this. The model that Jesus gave us is not for you to follow the church's vision. So in old paradigm, a church like ours would have a vision and say, do you know what? We're going to, and we would invite you to sign up to it. In fact, we would encourage you to sign up to it. If you didn't, we'd make you feel guilty for not signing up to it. And then if the guilt didn't work, we'd add a little bit of shame. And then we might even promise that if you really do this for your particular church, then you'll get a free pass into some eternal something or other. And so there would be this kind of pressure for you to conform to a corporate vision. Yeah, you with me? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus didn't give us any strategies for that. He didn't tell us how to coerce people onto rotas. He didn't tell us how to get volunteers to do what we want them to do. He didn't bother with any of that. He turned the whole thing upside down on its head, and he effectively modeled this. Follow God's vision for you, and you will be the church. Can you see how that's the other way around completely? Hello? Oh, suddenly, deathly quiet. We want to upturn, to overturn, if you like, the tables in the temple. We want to turn the whole thing on its head because that's what we believe Jesus modeled. So, a question. There it is. What's the difference between, that hasn't finished, landed, has it? Doesn't look like that. I'm going to read that to you because that hasn't worked at all. What's the difference between these two and how is Burlington doing in that? What's the difference between these two and how is Burlington doing in that? I'm going to try again. You ready? Oh. Come on. Come on, pretend it's like the kids' party. It'll only work if you encourage it. Why don't you turn to the people around you? What's the difference between those two and how's Burlington doing in it? Off you go.
Where are you placed?
Okay, final push, final bend. Keep hold of those conversations because the conversation that you are having right now is really important for the next few months. We'll have a bit of a break in the summer, do something different through the summer. But what we really need to hone in is how well are we doing at beginning to embrace or inverting ourselves to embrace the pattern that Jesus gave us rather than the inherited pattern that we've received as our church, but as churches generally. And that has huge implications for that right-hand column. about what it means for you and for me. I've got to figure out what it is. And so we've been trying to help people focus in on that. And last week we had a flower. Remember the flower? Well, 2 weeks ago, was it? What happened last week? Oh, yeah. Prayer room. Oops. So I didn't realize this was a flower until someone pointed it out to me. So you need to bloom where you're planted. And if I ever say that again, please shoot me, yeah? But shoot me so that I die, not that I walk the rest of my life with a limp, yeah? But we were getting people to think about where God has placed us and what it means to be shown up, sent. If you use the QR code, you'll get a PDF with all of the things that we've been doing over these last 2 weeks, including this one. And what I was inviting you to do last week is to think about the things that you have, the place, the people that you've got, the possessions that you have, like you've got a table or a coffee mug or a favorite coffee shop or a walk or a dog and or whatever it is. You've got stuff that is part of who you are and what you can offer and what you can use. And what we're really trying to figure out as we think about that, are those middle questions. What's God saying? How do I feel about it? And what am I going to do about it? Don't miss out the how do I feel, because that's what will stop you. The moment you get asked a question, it's how you feel that dictates your first initial response. And it's really hard to keep behaving in a way that's against how you feel. So we need to think about our feelings in terms of all of these questions. But this is the thought for this week that I'd love you to take with you and come back with it alive in you. What does it mean for you to increase your proximity to those things? To increase your proximity to those things. So if there are people where God has placed you, what does it mean to go a little bit closer, a little bit deeper? So I might get involved in the school council, or I might get involved in that issue at work, or I might reach out to that person who sits on the desk, works in that corner, does that. I'm going to get a little bit, I'm going to move a little bit closer. Make sense? I've got a coffee mug. I've got a dining room table. I've got a house. I've got a walk that I do, and I'm sent there. I'm going to move a little bit closer to what it means to be sent there. That makes sense? What does it mean in each of those areas for you to move just a little bit closer? Remember the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil. Why was she remembered? Jesus said, you'll be remembered all over the earth. And the fact I'm talking about it 2,000 years later suggests that he was right. Why was she remembered? Because she did what she could. That's what it says. Jesus says she'd be remembered because she did what she could. Let's not get stressed out about what we can't. There's plenty of things that we can't do. But in each of those areas, there's something that you and I can do. And as we begin to unlock those things, we will begin to understand what it means at an individual level to be sent. Then we'll talk about what it means to do that together. And so we begin to invert the paradigm that we've been used to, which is there's some kind of vision. I'm going to give you the vision. You're going to go, oh, I like that or I don't. I'm going to try and persuade you to join me in it, and you will or you won't, and all of that stuff. Let's throw all that out the way and go, God's giving all of us, each one of you, if you want to find it, a vision, a purpose for your life, we want to help you go do that. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And I think that's worth us giving ourselves to. Claire, come and pray for us.